Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
8:43, 17 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Ollie Bustamante joins us now, professor in the Department of Economics and Finance at UNO, to talk about the real estate outlook for 2025. Morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Let me tell you something. UNO changed my life, and Clancy Dubose is quoted as saying, and I repeat his quote often, that UNO built the middle class in New Orleans, and I think they really did. And I know you guys are going through some tough times, and I hope it gets better. I really do, real soon, because a lot of us have a lot of debt of gratitude to UNO. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. You know, it is really a stalwart in the community, and I think it's something that certainly should be supported a lot more.
Let's talk about the affordability when it comes to real estate. I don't know if you want to start nationwide, Professor, or about Louisiana, but let me start nationwide. Is home ownership still the American dream, and is it affordable?
Well, you know, the short answer is no. Right now, what we're actually seeing is that the average age for the first-time homeowner is about 56 years old. So this idea that, you know, somebody in their 20s or 30s can be a first-time homeowner is really out of touch for a lot of folks. And one of the main reasons for that right now is not just the actual housing costs themselves, but also the fact that interest rates are incredibly high, with interest rates for 30-year mortgages around 7%.
I may or may not be old enough, Professor, because, you know, my age is a closely kept secret, to remember the Carter days, and buying a home, and the first home I may or may not have purchased was at 13.5% interest, which is crazy when you compare it to 2%, not as crazy when you compare it to 7%. And I guess I'm wondering, how did we go down to 2%, and how did it go back up so relatively quickly?
Yeah, you know, one of the main reasons why we actually, you know, went so low is that we really did two things. One of them is, you know, interest rates is one of the clear ways to actually fuel a lot of economic growth. So, you know, really during the past 20, 30 years, folks at the Federal Reserve and push down on the pedal really of making sure that we can run the economy as hot as we can. Now, as we know, that's led to a couple of crises in the way. However, that's really led to a lot of, you know, folks who previously couldn't afford housing, previously couldn't afford, loans on their cars to be able to access them for the first time. Now, what, you know, the reason why that pendulum has swung incredibly fast the other way around is really because when we have interest rates very low, that also causes some inflationary pressures, as we saw with the supply chain issues, and really the interest rates themselves have really ultimately led to, you know, trying to create some more restraints on the economy. And that's where we ultimately end up with a 7% interest rate for 30-year mortgages right now.
So when it comes to, and I don't know if this is a question for the sociology department or not, but, you know, I was always taught as a young guy, buy as much house as you can, as little car as you can afford. I don't know if that's a message still. Are people looking at after the what happened in 2008 as a, you know, as maybe housing as an investment, as opposed to that's your house, that's where you live, nobody can take it away from you? And also, I'll piggyback this giant Bobby Hebert question with, you know, I see commercials for vehicles now where they're offering 84-month financing, which just blows my mind that you would finance a car for 7 years, although some of the prices of the cars are more than a house. Has there been a shift toward from houses to cars, or the way people look at it, or is one in place of the other, or is that something you would even address?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so one thing to say is, you know, housing and certainly cars should never really be investments. You know, the actual valuation of housing over time is no, it really pales in comparison to, you know, if you were to actually create a proper investment in a portfolio of stocks or bonds or what have you. You know, stocks and bonds will always outperform housing values on the long term. That being said, you know, when we think about housing, it's, you know, folks, first and foremost, folks should be thinking about housing as something that they consume, not something that's actually an investment return. And in that regard, you know, when we look at just how much rents have also increased over the past few years, you know, housing is really there on pretty good parity with renting. So, you know, if you can ultimately have access to these mortgages, it behooves you to do housing now. In terms of the you know, the cars and car loans, you know, one of the issues that we've had over time is because interest rates had been so low for such a long time, people were affording, we were taking out loans on cars, as you mentioned, for 84 months or so, because it, you know, allowed them to have lower monthly payments and afford a lot more car. However, you know, cars are one of those things that, again, are non-investments. They depreciate incredibly in their first year as soon as you take them off the lot, really. And it's one of these things where the longer the loans are, the longer folks are on the hook and basically having underwater on these loans when it comes to their actual car valuation vis-a-vis the remaining balance on their loans.
So, but when it comes to housing as an investment as opposed to a car, you can't really I mean, that's like apples and oranges, right? One at least
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I mean, you know, at least, yeah, homes are, you know, they actually maintain their value quite well. And again, they're not going to give you, you know, 20%, you know, returns on every few years, but they'll certainly retain their value. But, you know, cars are just, it really is, you know, behooves folks to, you know, look at used cars, look at, you know, other kinds of alternatives where, or even, you know, trying, you know, to the extent possible, you know, save and pay off cars immediately just because of the devaluation that they incur in such a rapidly quick pace.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here because I want to talk about affordability. We come back and what's one thing, Professor, I always wonder just as a homeowner is that it seems as though if you're in the housing market, there's X amount that you can afford per month, right? That people can afford a month.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And if the interest rate doesn't suck it up, the price of the house is going to suck it up. So either way, and you can maybe walk me through all of that, it seems like the price of the house, one way or the other, or at least the out-of-pocket by the home buyer, is going to be the same. And we'll talk about that and the effect on housing and new houses existing homes, rents, et cetera. When we come back, 850. Tommy Tucker, you got any questions? 504-260-1870. We're talking to Ollie Bustamante, professor in the Department of Economics and Finance. And I will proudly say my alma mater, UNO, Newell Norman as well. 850, 10 till 9, traffic, WWL. 8:53, 7 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, having an interesting conversation with Ollie Bustamante, professor in the Department of Economics and Finance at UNO, my alma mater, Newell Norman's alma mater, Clancy Dubose's alma mater, Diane Newman, the boss lady around here's alma mater, and more. Ollie, when it comes to what I said before the break, it just seems to me as a layman that If the interest rates go down, well, then the market's going to determine, or economic factors determine how much somebody can afford to pay for a house note. So then the price of the house is going to go up. Conversely, when it comes to the market, if the interest rates go up, then the price of the house is going to come down because people can only afford so much. Am I making stuff up in my head, or is there a correlation there?
No, you're absolutely right. There is a correlation there. And in fact, that's actually what we're, you know, what we've seen over time, you know, with the interest rates going up, we've seen that the price, the growth of housing prices actually slowed down drastically. In fact, you know, right now, you know, houses are staying much longer in the market and, you know, sellers are taking, you know, are more likely to take, you know, below asking prices than they have just two years ago. I mean, 2 years ago, it was really a seller's market. Right now, it is a buyer's market. And the other thing that we also have to just add on top of this is the insurance costs, which we know can be, you know, have skyrocketed over the past years as well.
So when it comes to new or existing homes, is there a preference when it comes to the consumer?
Well, the home buyer? Yes, absolutely. You know, when it comes to, especially again with insurance costs, this is where it behooves folks to either buy newer homes with like fortified roofs, or even if it's a used home, you know, have being able to, you know, look at what kind of remodeling has actually occurred in the recent past. Just because, again, with the recent hikes in insurance prices, because largely due to a very uncompetitive insurance market that we have here in the state of Louisiana. And, you know, looking at either, you know, newer housing or more recent remodeling, especially when it comes to roofs, is really a huge preference for buyers right now.
So what is the outlook for 2025? Housing starts, or if there is going to be movement in the housing market, is it going to be new houses being built or existing homes being purchased, or can you tell?
Yeah, we're actually seeing right now is that fewer and fewer folks are listing their homes right now. You know, again, they're seeing that right now it is a buyer's market. And so, you know, there's a lot of folks who are reticent, thinking twice about whether they're putting their homes up for sale or not. Now, on the supply side, we're also seeing, you know, some very slow development when it comes to new residential building permits being issued. So there is some trickling of increasing supply there. But really, as you kind of mentioned, you know, we've seen a lot of containment when it comes to retail prices, when it comes to home values, but it's really the interest rates and the home insurance that are really pinching folks right now.
So what about inflation and the President Trump talking about tariffs, also about deporting people and labor when it comes to building these homes? Does that play into any of this, Professor?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that when the Federal Reserve decides to either raise or cut or maintain interest rates, a lot of that has to do with their outlook for the, you know, either both the near term and the long term economic future. And so one of the issues at play right now is that we had been seeing the Federal Reserve cut interest rates again, you know, easing the affordability of obtaining loans and paying off your credit cards and so on. And one of the issues there is that with the possibility of having tariffs, which creates a lot of just, very complex trade dynamics, that's really caused them to think to actually hold off on cutting interest rates more, just so they can hedge their bets on the possibility of having a lot more uncertainty in the international trade markets.
I've got a couple of texts coming in here, Professor. I don't know if you can deal with them or not, if it's in your wheelhouse. Tommy, I have 5 years of equity in my home. Is it smart to take a second mortgage out to pay off a credit card, auto, and personal loan? I would suggest, you know, I don't know what the interest rate is, but one thing I think here is, Professor, that you would want to look at a HELOC. You don't want a second mortgage and remortgage at a higher rate when you can get a home equity line of credit, right?
100%. Yeah. So I would say two things. One of them is, you know, credit card debt is really, you know, I mean, that is what folks need to get out from under as quickly as possible, just because of the extremely high interest rates. You're talking about most people paying, you know, 21% in terms of interest rates. And so, you know, that can really just be a huge vicious cycle in terms of keeping folks in debt. That being said, in terms of, you know, being able to get out of that debt, credit card debt, it behooves them to certainly take a look at what are ways that, as you mentioned, the HELOC, you know, other options where they can tap into some, you know, perhaps equity that they have. But the idea is doing it in a way where they're not necessarily locking into the very high interest rates that we have right now.
If you have a 3% mortgage, you do everything you can to avoid messing with that. Accurate?
100%. And again, this is why, you know, especially with it being a buyer's market, you know, we have so many folks who locked in 3%, 4%, myself included, who are not going to, sell their homes and enter, the buying market again at these interest rates.
Professor, give me 30 seconds on this. I have three grown kids, none want to buy a home, interest, maintenance, insurance premiums. They all rent, leave the worries of the landlord. I can't make them understand they're paying for all of that with high rent that they're paying for somebody else's property. Thoughts in 30 seconds?
No, that's absolutely true. You know, when it comes to, you know, real estate owners, they pass on any housing increase, any housing value, whether it's insurance or what have you, they pass it on to the renter. So the longer that, the quicker that folks can actually go into home ownership, again, it's much harder to do than it used to be in before, but it certainly behooves folks vis-a-vis renters.
Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. Very interesting conversation. Ali Bustamante, Professor in the Department of Economics and Finance at UNO. Boy, talk about real estate 101. We can take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Ian McNulty. Eating and drinking in New Orleans, our favorite time of the week, and we'll get it going when we return on WWL.